You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Okay, scripture reading today is in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Right, well, we had a good time down in Dallas. We went to the Arboretum and had a look at all the nice plants and flowers. It was beautiful temperature and not too many people were there just before the crowds came. And being a steward, I got the price right. In August, it was just the right amount of dollars to get in there, so it was nice. And it was really, really nice. A beautiful setting. And the flowers, the care that's gone into the preparation of everything is remarkable. Beautiful place. We also stopped at all sorts of nice restaurants. We went to a Japanese restaurant, which was for lunch, which was beautiful. Oh, man. All the different types of food laid out there. And in each bay, they had their own specialist cooks for those particular foods. And that was nice. We even went to a super fast food restaurant, In-N-Out Burgers, down there in Dallas, and that was good. That was really nice. A very clean and well-presented meal for burgers. Very nice. Yeah, we enjoyed that. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, all that we've learnt, Lord. We are so thankful. We pray, Lord, as we keep digging into the Scriptures, that Your Holy Spirit would go before us and prepare the way in our minds, and that we would receive the engrafted word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I've done something silly here. I prepared a whole lot of slides, and the idea was I would put my research into the slides and then I would summarize them. But I began to learn so much, I didn't put the time into making summative slides. So, unfortunately, I'll have to get those prepared for next time, where all this research that I've been doing will be put into some nice, you know, a few summative slides so that you can just get the main idea of it. But I have discovered some great things here. Some really, again, new material coming forward here, but in the Scriptures. And I think this is going to be truly remarkable, some of the things that I've found. Now, the first thing I'd like to say is that if you wanted to summarize the book of Ephesians, and I've read this thing over and over again, I've been translating it, I've been putting it into grammatical contexts, I've been very careful with understanding the grammar. If you were to summarize the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is all about how we, in this age, the called out ones of this age, in regards to the revelation of the mystery, it's all about how we fit into the purpose of the ages in relationship to God's fatherhood or his headship. It's all about the headship of God. Now, you might say, that sounds a bit weird. But I hope to show you eventually, perhaps not today, I hope to show you that that's the case. And furthermore, that is a big unlocker in terms of understanding the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, which is all about practical things, which is what we're interested in. And we've discovered that the only way you're going to understand our distinctives is by understanding the heavy doctrine of chapters 1 through 3, so that we can see and understand how our deportment is different from the other deportments we find of other groups within the Bible, groups of believers. Now, you notice that at the beginning, I got everyone to listen to Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 4. Why did I do that? The reason why I did that is because when the doctrine of headship comes up, there is a discussion of what God is doing in terms of all of His creation and not only us. Not only us, but all of God's creation. And God's creation is fallen. As far as we know, all of God's creation, it has been involved with a fall. Now, mankind through the fall of Adam, but there has been a great fall in terms of Lucifer in the heavenly realm. And that there are elect angels. Paul talks about the elect angels. Well, these are the ones whom God is going to show His favor. And if there's elect angel, there's going to be those who are not elect. And we understand the word elect in terms of, for example, human beings. Elect simply means that these people were chosen. God always makes a choice. Just because you believe does not mean to say that God has to say, oh yes, because you've done this, you must be so good, and therefore I'm going to let you into my heaven. No, God is always in grace going to say, yes, I therefore choose you. I choose to accept your repentance. I choose to accept your statement of faith. You didn't deserve it. God is always going to make a choice. And so it is with the angels. The elect angels. Now, we read about the principalities and powers. We have read in chapter 3 that now, he says. And the word now, noon, what it means is, and all these studies we've been doing, they're all now beginning to fit together, aren't they? It's really cool. Okay, so there's Acts 28, okay? Here's Acts 28. And then the ministry continues. The ministry continues. The salvation of God, which was sent to the Jews, then is sent to the Gentiles. And right here, there is this Acts 28:31, this period. It's right at the end, right? And at that period here, there is this blossoming and continuance of the preaching of the kingdom. It carries on and it moves on here. And Paul is at some stage released from his first imprisonment, and then he goes about his other missionary journeys. We do not know exactly where he went, but I'm going to put forward to you in the future, once I've done all my work, a possible movement of Paul, okay, where he geographically may have gone. But there was some sort of extended missionary journeys that Paul went on. And then at some stage there was the revelation of the mystery which was given here. Okay. And once that was given, we find this time conjunction now is brought up in chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, to the intent that now, that's where it comes in verse 10, to the intent that now, when is the now? This is the now, right? Here is the now. That's the now. This is how our understanding of the Bible has been adjusted, right? Now. And he says, now unto the principalities and powers. Wait a minute. Principalities and powers. These principalities and powers, these are those who are leaders. They're not the hoi polloi of the angels. No. Paul now is addressing the leaders of the angels, these principalities and powers. He's addressing those ones. And because these will be of some form of angelic being, some will be elect and some will be non-elect, right? There's no reason to believe that they are all lost or that they are all saved, but there would be some sort of mixture of them there. And he says this. He says this in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, through the instrumentality of the church. It says, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, when it says manifold, that's polupoikilos. Polupoikilos. It's the only place where that word is used. Poikilos is used in many other places. But polupoikilos only here. The much varied wisdom of God. Rough translation, right? But that's trying to emphasize the distinctive word. Poikilos is used, for example, diverse diseases. You'll find it in the Gospels. Diverse diseases. Poikilos. Polupoikilos here in relationship to this wisdom of God. The manifold, the many-colored wisdom of God. We are responsible to bring to the principalities and powers. Oh man, oh man. Now, you can look through a lot of these verses, and I've shown you before, for example, in Colossians, you find in Colossians it talks about how that the there are these things called the it talks about things in heaven and upon earth. And there is this expression that comes up by Paul in Ephesians and in Colossians, the all things. The all things. And the all things are broken up into those in heaven and those on earth. The all things. And what he's interested in doing is the reconciliation of all things, the all things, the reconciliation of the all things, that is, the things in heaven and the things on earth. And the only way I can see a reconciliation to be made is on the basis of the blood of Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way that that can occur. So, that brings a huge amount of light to us in terms of what we are involved with. We are involved with a ministry, certainly to human beings. I mean, that's easy to see. We've got a ministry to human beings. But we also have a ministry to non-human beings. As wild as that sounds, and people who hear this are going to think that I am crazy. Well, they're right. But then we're all crazy to some extent. Coming on down here, when you get down to chapter 4, before we get there, Paul resumes in verse 14. See, in chapter 3, verse 14, he resumes what he began. And what I understand about this, I'm beginning to really come to terms with Paul's prayers, because there are prayers in here. He begins on this thing of starting this prayer, and then he's then what comes into his mind is something that must be said first. And though that comes up in verses 1 through 13. Right? So 1 through 13 is an interruption to what he began. He began to start on this prayer, and then, oh, I got to get this out first. This has to happen first. And that relates to the revelation of the mystery. That relates to the ministry, to the principalities and powers, all of that material. Then, what happens? He says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Notice, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to discover that the fatherhood of God, the place of Jesus and the purpose of the ages, and our place in that, is remarkably set out. This headship that goes down and is important because it's going to practically be brought out. So here we're getting a theoretical headship, if you like. I mean, it's real, but theoretical in the sense that it has to do with doctrine that's laid out by Paul. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, it's going to talk about deportment and how what this means in terms of how we live our lives. And if you notice in the prayer, he says this, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Isn't that interesting? Because right there it means every family in heaven and earth. He will not let go this idea of the principalities and powers. He will not let it go. It's there. It continues to be there. It would not disappear. While I'm thinking about this, it's my belief, and what I cannot prove this from scriptures, it's my belief that a lot of the strangeness of things on the earth will be used by Satan to deceive people. For example, the principalities and powers, where are they? They're in heavenly places. There's no reason to believe that the heavenly places is some planet out there. It's not there. It's outside of the cosmos. If you like, you could use other words, like interdimensional, but you wouldn't use words cosmos, you would not use universe, you would not use the word planet. But have you noticed that in the world there are lots and lots of people who believe now, because of UFOs, that there are beings from other planets visiting this earth? They believe that. I mean, there's lots of them. They truly believe, and the UFO phenomenon, which is real, I believe it's totally real, generally speaking. I know there's fakes. There's plenty of fakes, yes. A lot of people throwing frisbees around. I understand that. But there's also the reality, and there's also been to some degree a disclosure of the reality of them, with the Air Force now releasing tapes of fighter pilots with pictures of these things. You know, pictures of them, where they're chasing them, you know. And they do right-hand turns and do all this sort of stuff and take off. And some of them even appear over airports and they hover there for ages. And people are looking at them. What's going on? They're there, right? Well, these, I think, are going to be part of a massive delusion, right? Part of the delusion that will come on to the world, where people will say, well, yeah, see, we're just a product of evolution. Evolution has been going on all around the universe, and there's other intelligences out there, and, you know, it's all part of this whole thing. But what if these things have nothing to do with this universe at all? What if these things are interdimensional, using this kind of terminology, that these things are coming from the heavenly places? What if it is part of a representation of the angelic realm? I'll come to this, okay, and how this could possibly fit in with some of the passages we're reading in the Old Testament especially. But if you come down here in chapter 3, in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now notice it says inner man. Now in here what you're going to start to see is not there is the man, okay, the new man. And the word for man there is anthropos. And then there is something else called the perfect man. And that comes up in Ephesians 4. So you've got the new man, you've got the perfect man. Okay. And this man here is the word aner, which is for a husband. Okay. And perfect, telos, the idea of a being brought to completion. So the new man has been created, and the idea is that the church of whom Christ is head, is this new man. And what this church is supposed to do is it's supposed to grow in maturity to become the perfect man. That is the corporate. So there's this corporate identity, okay? Corporate identity. The new man and the perfect man. That's corporate. People who have come to understand the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ? Yes, I believe that. Bang, you're in that new man. And then, of course, you've got to start understanding, and some will not completely understand, right? So within this class of people, there's a whole range, a gamut of people who are, you know, trying to understand. We're supposed to do that. But the ultimate aim is to become the perfect man. Now, here is the thing. Paul also talks about this inner man, okay, in verse 16, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So what you're going to find here is Paul is then going to bring truth about the battle, which we've come to understand, between the old and the new man, and the inner man, the spiritual man. There's all sorts of things going on, a fight. And there's this parallel that goes together with this new man. That, yes, the corporate body is supposed to run the race and come to the perfect man, understanding the doctrine of Christ, understanding the right division of the Scriptures, all these things. But then what we are supposed to do then is to put this in place, understanding the headship of God, understanding and putting that into place, and we then run individually this race so that we individually bring forth this perfection. So there's an individual situation which talks about the inner man, and then there is this corporate one. Okay, and we've come to understand something about the corporate man, and it's largely about doctrinal things. But now what we're interested in are the practical lessons which relate to the inner man and the race that's going on. And it says this in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now here comes verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God. This then is part of the prayer. And before he started that prayer, he had to bring this stuff out about the revelation of the mystery and the principalities and powers and that ministry to do with them. He had to get that out first. Then he gets into this prayer. And that's important, because the fullness of God, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, relates to all of this teaching that he's brought forward. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And the prayer ends. The prayer ends there. And he prays for them to comprehend with all saints. Yeah? Knowledge. Right? He's praying that they would understand these things. He's praying that they would come to be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay. So when we come to chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. There comes the walk, the beseech, called alongside. Here he is, paraclete, parakletos. The Holy Spirit is a parakletos. He is the one called alongside. He is the comforter. Well, here is the verb, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, wherewith ye are called. You can't walk unless you understand the calling. How on earth are you going to make sense out of your distinctive walk unless you understand the calling? Okay. It says, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And that's an interesting thing then, isn't it? Because if the principalities and powers are beholding our walk, they are also beholding this love, which tells us something about God's creation, that this principle of love extends to his other creation as well. It's not as if, oh, okay, human beings are involved with love, but the angelic realm is not. No, that's something that's common. Right, and they are beholding this, and they're affected by it. And it says, endeavoring, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to do this. So this unity has been made, another thing that comes up in the headship. that there's this unity. There's one body and one spirit, even as he called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, notice, a Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Notice the amount of emphasis Paul puts on the fatherhood of God. Very important part of it. And then it says, but unto every one of us was given grace. I know it says is, but the verb is an aorist, it's past. Was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Was given this. Now, why is this important? Notice that there is this measure of the gift of Christ. Measure of the gift of Christ. So, every one of us was given. Now, when it says of us, who is he referring to? This is a bit hard to decipher. Who is he? Now, we want to put ourselves in there, right? Strictly speaking, we couldn't be. I mean, just strictly, taking this as a letter to the Ephesians, right? Paul is referring either to himself and the immediate company involving the fellow workers, or could also extend perhaps to the Ephesians themselves, right? Strictly speaking, it couldn't be us, but by extension, if the doctrine so is passed on down, it could be taken to us. But let's just leave this now to be strictly in place that it was given to just that specific group, okay, which would be Paul and his immediate fellow workers, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, why am I talking about this? I'm saying that there is a problem. There is a problem, Houston. So, what's the problem? Well, the problem here is that throughout this time, there has been a hope, which is the hope of Israel. Now, because the word is even used in Ephesians 3:10, the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, okay, this is the reason why the mystery was given. Okay, now, something's changed. A new hope has come into place. There was bodies of Christ back here in localities, the body of Christ, instantiated at different places like Rome, like at Corinth, and even at Ephesus. Now he's saying, look what he says here in chapter 4. He says, there is one body and one spirit. Even you're called in one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling. Well, wait a minute. There was a hope back here, wasn't there? The hope of Israel. Now, a new hope has come in place. There was the body of Christ, which was made up of people who had manifestations of gifts. Now, there is this one body, Sosoma, this joint body, and one hope. Well, therefore, there must be some sort of adjustment needed. Now, look at it. Just look at it very carefully. Verse 7, but unto every one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, he's going to explain this measure of the gift of Christ by quoting from the Old Testament. And the context of this quote from the Old Testament is amazing, man, because it comes from Psalm 68. See what it says in verse 9? Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Why? Why did he go to all heavens? That he might fill thee all things, that he might fill thee all things. And thee all things, man, relates to the things in heaven and the things in earth. And he's going to reclaim these, man. And we're now understanding our place in God's purposes, and specifically the doctrine of the headship, the fatherhood of God, then the Son, then the man, then the woman, then the children. What is all that? How important is that? And what is being attacked today? Like, oh, get out, man. What is being attacked today? And I want to say something right up front. What is the most important is the church. Now, because we are the ones who are educating the principalities and powers. If the church goes, guess who's going to be influenced? The principalities and powers. And when the principalities and powers, who are the rulers, right? They are the rulers of these ranks of angels. Once they are influenced in a wrong way, what's going to happen amongst their ranks? Amongst their ranks, there's going to be more negative activity. And that negative activity, I would like to tell you, is going to influence us on this earth. What's going on with the UFOs? You notice something's going on. It's increasing. I don't want to go on about this because I've got quite a few things to say about this in context with Genesis chapter 6. Angelic beings have visited this earth before in a special context which has to do with Noah. And he was pure, Genesis 6:9, in his generations. Right? He was not the result of some sort of cohabitation with the angels and humans. It tells me, therefore, that one of the things which is possible and also an objective of the fallen angelic realm is some kind of cohabitation with human beings to destroy the race of human beings by the destruction of the genetics of mankind. Well, I'm kind of out of time. I wanted to show you more that comes out of Genesis chapter 6 in relationship to this passage that we're reading, which comes from Psalm 68. And we're going to have to get into Psalm 68, and we're going to have to read that very carefully because it's absolutely pointed to what's going on. It's fantastic what I'm finding in here. And my knowledge of Hebrew is not great yet, but it's starting to increase now as I'm studying it. And there's certain things that are coming out, especially about the Nephilim, the fallen ones, right? Which has to do with all this. Why is it that whenever the headship comes up, there's a discussion of angels? Have you noticed that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and see where Paul starts to discuss in the Acts period anything to do with the headship. What does he say about the woman? They must have power on the head because of the angels. Because of the angels. Well, that's a bit strange, don't you think? Soon as headship comes up, there's a discussion of angels. In the context of headship in Ephesians, what do we get? We get a discussion not of angels, but the rulers of the angels. That shows our unique part in all of this. Our unique part in this headship has to do with our education of the rulers of these angels, principalities and powers. Is this cool? It's a rock and roll, man. I'm telling you, the stuff that's coming up here is wild but interesting. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. And Lord, all that we've learnt, we pray that You'd guide us and lead us as we open up the Scriptures. And we pray, Lord, for those who perhaps are unwell at this time in the fellowship. And Lord, that You'd look after the people who are visiting the website, that come to learn more about Thy grace. That they'd first of all find salvation in Him who is the beginning and the ending. And that, Lord, that they'd run the race on unto perfection. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.